Hey, good morning, Las Vegas. You're listening to the Solid Rock Gospel Broadcast, a programming effort of the Church of Las Vegas to proclaim that God is good, His grace is amazing, His love is available, and the power of the good news about Jesus is real and can and does change our lives.
Good morning, Las Vegas. Welcome to the Solid Rock Gospel Broadcast. My name's John Racine with the Church at Las Vegas, and this morning we're going to be going through Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 8, I was reading through that this week during a devotion, and there's just some things there that I'd really like to share with you from the Word of God. But before we go there, I want you to consider this verse from James chapter 1 and verse 12. James chapter 1 and verse 12, it says, "Blessed is the one who perseveres under trial, because having stood the test, that person will receive the crown of life that the Lord has promised to those who love him." So, you know, of course, this isn't just for anybody. This is to those whom the Lord has called, who have responded to the gospel of Jesus Christ, God's grace, and who have resolutely determined and committed their life to following after the wisdom that comes from above rather than being conformed to the pattern of this world. James is writing this to God's people in the first century, people who were going through difficult circumstances. In fact, back in chapter 1 and verse 2 of James, it says, "Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything." You see, that's God's goal and desire, is to refine us, to help us to go through the trials of life, to develop our character, and so that perseverance that we need in this life, that strong, blessed, assured faith that we can have through Jesus, is something that will stand the test under whatever trial comes to us. And that knowing that we've stood the test, we will receive the crown of life that the Lord has promised to those who love him. In fact, this is exactly what Paul told Timothy at the end of 2 Timothy in chapter 4. He said in verse 7, "I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have longed for his appearing." So you see, Christians are going to face many trials in this life, and there's going to be persecution. Jesus said, "If they persecuted me, they're going to persecute you." Paul told Timothy, anyone who desires to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. Why? Well, because the world doesn't understand the wisdom of God. They don't understand it, not because they're unintelligent, but because it doesn't fit with their worldview. Okay? The wisdom that comes from above or from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. Okay, that's much different than the wisdom that is earthly, unspiritual, and demonic. For where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you find disorder and every evil practice. Okay, that's why Paul said in Romans, don't conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what the Lord's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. So, going back to Acts chapter 8 then, In Acts chapter 7, we've just seen Stephen stand up before the Sanhedrin and basically run them through an entire history, very condensed, of the nation of Israel. And how all of that culminated into Jesus Christ, and yet they rejected him. And apparently when he got toward the end of his message, he realized that they were, again, hardening their hearts. And so he says in Acts 7 verse 51, "You stiff-necked people, your hearts and ears are still uncircumcised. You're just like your ancestors. You always resist the Holy Spirit. Was there ever a prophet your ancestor did not persecute? They even killed those who predicted the coming of the righteous one, and now you have betrayed and murdered him. You who have received the law that was given through angels, but have not obeyed it." Now, rather than let that very passionate speech and certainly rebuke at the end of it soften their hearts and cut them to the heart, like happened to many of the Jews on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2. Instead of that, when the members of the Sanhedrin heard this, they were furious and they gnashed their teeth and they covered their ears and yelling at the top of their voices. Verse 57 says, they rushed at him, dragged him out of the city, and began to stone him. Wow, that's real appropriate for a group of religious leaders, right? And yet you say, well, they still do crazy things today. Yes, many of them do, but not all of them. And you know what? When someone's really in love with Jesus Christ, they're not going to do the things that the Sanhedrin did. And so they dragged him out of the city. They began to stone him. And even in that, Stephen, following his Lord Jesus' example, fell to his knees and cried, "Lord, do not hold this sin against them." And then he died. And a man by the name of Saul was right there approving of their killing him, it says right at the end of 7 and the beginning of 8. And it says at the beginning of chapter 8, Acts chapter 8, verse 1, "On that day a great persecution broke out against the church in Jerusalem, and all except the apostles were scattered throughout Judea and Samaria. Godly men buried Stephen and mourned deeply for him, but Saul began to destroy the church. Going from house to house, he dragged off both men and women and put them in prison." Now, wow, I read that and I say, now that's persecution. And fortunately, so far in this country, we haven't had to endure that kind of persecution yet. Maybe we will, maybe we won't. But we're going to serve Jesus Christ in the good times, in the peaceful times, in times where Christianity is honored and the Lord Jesus is honored, and when he's not. Because you know what? We know, like we already read, that persecution, trouble, those things, they help develop our character in ways that just in good, easy times doesn't. And so we're not asking for persecution, but if it comes, we'll be ready to deal with that through the strength, through the hope, through the peace that the Lord Jesus gives us. And so great persecution broke out. And Saul here was going from house to house, dragging men and women off, throwing them in prison. And very many times they too were destroyed because they thought they had to wipe this new movement out. The religious leaders were jealous and envious of all that was going on in the name of Jesus, whom they had crucified and got Pilate to agree to do this. And so this great persecution broke out, and all except the apostles were scattered throughout Judea and Samaria. Now, interestingly enough, at the beginning of Acts, Jesus told the apostles in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, and in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." But until this happened, it seems like they were just staying in Jerusalem. They weren't going out. And so this persecution actually brought about what the Lord intended, was for the Christians there in Jerusalem to scatter throughout Judea and Samaria. So just like Jesus said, Jerusalem had heard about the gospel. Now the gospel is going to go out into Judea and Samaria. And that's what it says, starting in verse 4. It shows us, it tells us historically what happened. It says in verse 4 that those who had been scattered preached the word wherever they went. So they preached the gospel. They took the good news that Jesus had died on the cross and that he had been buried and yet he had risen on that third day, and that he was the Messiah, the one whom God anointed and set apart to be the very foundation of salvation and the new creation that he intends to bring about in this world. And so I like that they preached the word wherever they went. Even though they were scattered because of persecution, they didn't give up on that great commission that's recorded for us back in Matthew 28, 18 through 20, when Jesus told his apostles, go into all the world and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, and I will be with you always to the very end of the age. And so here in Acts chapter 8, verse 4, that's what happened. They left Jerusalem and began to preach the word wherever they went. Now it says in verse 5 that Philip went down to a city in Samaria and proclaimed the Messiah there. And when the crowds heard Philip and saw the signs he performed, they all paid close attention to what he said. For with shrieks, impure spirits came out of many, and many who were paralyzed or lame were healed. And so there was great joy in that city. Now, what's really interesting is that from Acts chapter 2 all the way through Acts chapter 6, or 5, you see the apostles performing all these signs and wonders and miracles, and people were listening to and paying attention to them. In Acts chapter 6, you have a circumstance that rose within the church where they needed to set aside some men to take care of this responsibility of waiting on these widows who were seemingly being overlooked in the daily distribution of food. And so they chose these different men, and it says that the apostle said, you choose 7 men from among you who are known to be full of the Spirit and wisdom, and we will turn this responsibility over to them, and we will give our attention to prayer and the ministry of the word. And so this proposal pleased the whole group, and they chose Stephen and Philip, Procurus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenius, and Nicholas from Antioch, convert to Judaism. They presented these men to the apostles, who prayed and laid their hands on them. And so what's interesting is right after this happens, here you have Stephen, full of the Holy Spirit, full of this wisdom, and boy, here he is speaking to the Sanhedrin. And now you have Philip, who I believe, and many believe, was one of those ones that was just mentioned there in Acts chapter 6 and verse 5, also Philip. And so because the apostles had laid their hands on Philip, Philip had received what we call the miraculous gifts of the Holy Spirit. We're going to see this a little bit more in Acts chapter 8 in just a little bit, but I want you to see why, wow, all of a sudden here is someone who is not an apostle, and he's also able to perform these miracles and heal people and drive out demons. And so there was great joy in that city. Now, it goes on to say in Acts chapter 8 and verse 9, now, for some time, a man named Simon had practiced sorcery in the city and amazed all the people of Samaria. So magic, dark magic, black magic, and this isn't just sleight of hand kind of stuff. I'm sure maybe some of that was involved in it, but this is a lot more dark than just normal, sleight of hand magic kind of stuff. It goes on to say, he boasted that he was someone great. And all the people, both high and low, gave him their attention and exclaimed, this man is rightly called the great power of God. And they followed him because he had amazed them for a long time with his sorcery. So, again, whatever he was doing, he convinced these people about who he was. And he allowed them to call him the great power of God. Now, for many of them there in Samaria, they may have had some knowledge of the one God, but a lot of them probably were polytheistic. They believed in many gods. And so, you know, whatever the situation was, they had attributed that to him, and he went right along with him. He boasted that he was someone great. You know, here's something just to think about, is that if you ever have a religious leader or a spiritual leader or someone that claims to know God or is acting in his power, and they're boasting about themselves and how great they are, they're a phony, okay? No true preacher of the gospel of Jesus Christ is ever going to think more highly of himself than they ought. And they're never going to say, you know, it's all me, and I'm such a great talented speaker, and I'm such a great talented leader, and you know, I did this all, you know, I'm God's spokesperson, and you guys better believe it. No, he's not going to be that way. He's going to do the work of God and show by his life and his ministry and his preaching and his care and his praying for people that he truly belongs to the Lord Jesus Christ. But all of these people followed him for a long time because they were amazed with what he was able to do. Now look at verse 12. This is very interesting. It says that when they believed Philip as he proclaimed the good news of the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Now, why does it say that? Well, because when Jesus told his apostles to go into all the world and make disciples of all the nations and then baptize them, well, that's exactly what they did. That's what happened on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2, when the Jews, or at least some of them, interrupted Peter in the middle of his message and says, "Brothers, what shall we do?" And Peter said, "You need to repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." And he said, "The promise is for you and your children, for all who are far off," Gentiles, "for all who the Lord our God will call," through the gospel that Peter had been preaching. And so when Philip proclaimed the same good news about the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus that Peter did on the day of Pentecost and that they all had been doing in Jerusalem, well, guess what? They believed the message and they were baptized, both men and women. Jesus said in Mark 16 and verse 15 and 16 to go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creatures. And whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. Because if you don't believe, you're not going to follow through with responding to God's grace the rest of the way that he asks us to respond. Many people think that responding to God's grace is just about believing, and that it's just, boom, you're instantly saved. That's not what the Bible teaches, folks. It's not what the Bible teaches. It teaches that we need to believe in the truth, that we need to repent of our lack of relationship, fellowship with God, because we've been walking in the darkness. We need to be willing to confess the name of Jesus, believe that he is the Son of God that came and died on the cross. If we don't believe that, it doesn't matter whether we're baptized or not. But once we believe all those things, then we're to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of our sins, and we'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit as God raises us up to walk in newness of life. Pretty simple. That's what these people did. When they believed Philip as he proclaimed the good news of the kingdom of God and the name of Christ Jesus, they were baptized, both men and women. And it says in verse 13, Simon himself believed and was baptized, and he followed Philip everywhere, astonished by the great signs and miracles he saw. So here was a man who recognized true power, true greatness, not just some kind of tricks or you know, even a little darker. We know that Satan and his apostles can masquerade as servants of light and of righteousness, and yet, you know, they can perform some things that Satan is allowed to get away with to deceive. But even Simon was able to see that, wow, Philip is not a, he's not a joke. He's the real thing. He was astonished by the great signs and miracles he saw. He would be, you know, that's what he had done for all of that time. And now, you know, he hears the gospel and he responds to the gospel and he's baptized himself with all of those other men and women, and he follows Philip everywhere. Now, there is absolutely no reason to believe, as you read that, that that he hadn't responded to the gospel. Now, I know a lot of people talk about, well, you know, some people respond to the gospel, but then it's not really real, and they never really believed, and they never really followed through in faith. Friends, you know, when the Bible tells us that they believed and were baptized, we need to agree with the Word of God that, hey, as far as we know, they were saved. And there's no reason really to question that. Now, we'll see a little bit later in this passage why some people think that. But there's really a simplicity to the gospel that when we hear it and we respond to it, it's pretty simple. And it's not that difficult at all. It's not intended to be difficult. And yet men have perverted the gospel. They've changed the gospel. They've made it into something that's not scriptural. It sounds good, but it's not the Word of God. And so we need to realize that responding to the grace of God includes everything between believing and being baptized into Christ. Once we've done that, now we can have the blessed assurance that God has done this amazing work in our life. Just like he says in Colossians chapter 2, when Paul is reminding them of their response there in Colossians chapter 2, when he says, "For in Christ," Colossians 2:9, "For in Christ all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form, and in Christ you have been brought to fullness. He is the head over every power and authority. In him you were also circumcised with the circumcision not performed by human hands. Your whole self ruled by the flesh was put off when you were circumcised by Christ, having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through your faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead." I hear people tell me, well, baptism is a work. You're right. It is a work. It's a work of God. When you submit to baptism, when you respond to the message of Jesus Christ through the gospel, you too will believe and be baptized. And when you do that in faith, Jesus himself, it says, circumcises you, as it were. Not a circumcision of the flesh, but in putting off that old man. When you were buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through your faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead. Baptism is a work of God. We just submit to it. We just say, yes, I choose to be baptized into Christ. In fact, we're going to see a little bit more of that in the last part of Acts 8. So we're not going to probably have time to do that all this morning, but hey, let's take a break right now. We've talked about Acts chapter 8 and several other scriptures for a little bit. Let's take a break and listen to Josh Wilson singing, "Savior, Please, Keep Saving Me." You see, here's the thing. We need to continue in our salvation. We need to make sure that we're walking in the light and walking in the truth, and that we don't go back to the ways that we used to. We can do that. That's a choice. God will let us do that, but how much better it is if we choose not to. And so I love this song. It's a plea for the Savior just to continue to keep saving us. And hey, if he saved us while we were still enemies of the cross, when we first started coming around and saying, hey, I want to follow Jesus instead of turning away from him, if he can do that before we're saved, how much more can he help us to remain saved and to walk by faith in the grace of God for the rest of our lives? Amen? All right, let's listen to Josh Wilson sing, "Savior, Please."
Savior, please, take my hand. I work so hard, I live so fast. This life begins and then it ends, and I do the best that I can, but I don't know how long. I can't do this alone. God, I need you to hold on. I fall so hard, I fade so fast. Will you begin right where I end and be the God of all I am? Because you're all.
We are out of time already. So, hey, thanks so much for listening this morning. We're going to continue on in Acts chapter 8, starting in verse 14 next time, and learning a little bit more about Simon and also Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch. So please tune in next week for another Solid Rock Gospel broadcast. We're the church at Las Vegas. We love to meet you, get to know you, share the word of God with you, share our lives with you. We love to study the word of God and proclaim the gospel and to learn the truths that God would like us to know. We meet at 3388 South Decatur Boulevard. That's right in between Spring Mountain and Desert Inn, 3388 South Decatur Boulevard. And we meet Sunday morning at 10:30. Sunday morning at 10:30. Sunday evening at 6 o'clock, and also Wednesday evening at 7 o'clock, we're going through the Proverbs. Please come and join us. You can also find out more about us online at thechurchatlasvegas.com, thechurchatlasvegas.com. And until next week, Lord willing, keep standing on the solid rock, the rock that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Amen, and God bless you this week.